Welcome to the Inspired Action Podcast. This is where we have motivational, inspiring conversations and interviews that we hope you'll enjoy listening to.
Join us and other inspired actioneers on this alchemical, transformational journey.
Welcome back to the Inspired Action Podcast. This is pod number 120. My name is Jay, and I'm here with my co-host, as always, Lita Herman.
Welcome back, Inspired Actioneers. Today, we're continuing our five-part series on taking a deeper dive into the secrets of each of the five elements, both for our new listeners and those of you who have been with us from the very beginning. And today, we might just outline and categorize some of the metal secrets.
And I like how you said secrets.
Yeah.
And that could be the first secret right there, right off the bat. Metals love to categorize and organize and put things into buckets.
Buckets.
You know, like bucket lists, but a different kind of bucket list.
There you go.
They like to be organized, even spatially organized. They like to have things in their places.
Yeah, they're very specific, aren't they? And it's funny because on the one hand, they're kind of cloudy around the edges, like insubstantial. But on the other hand, they're very, very specific and delineated.
How about cloudy with a chance of precision?
There you go. There you go.
Right?
Awesome. And today, you know, it's going to be like that. A lot of opposites.
Yeah.
Metal is it's almost a contradiction in terms within itself. On the one hand, it's about connection, and on the other hand, it's about loss.
And at the same time.
At the same time. And essentially, the moment you connect with something is the moment you immediately feel the future loss of it.
Yeah, and also, no judgment. Judgment. Metal's known for their judgment. No judgment on what we're talking about today. We're just saying it as we feel observing it, so.
Yeah.
Don't want to get the metals in an uproar. Like, oh, what are you talking about? But, it's really like the opposite of wood. Wood grabs onto things and feels like it's very tangible, and they get to have it, and metal's not quite like that.
Yeah, we know that metals and woods are opposite. So if metal grabs onto something, they immediately feel, they're aware that life is fleeting, and this fleeting feeling of actually grasping something, that's a temporary condition.
Yeah, and metaphorically, we always like to say that they have one foot in the grave because sometimes they're just conscious and they're not even fully here. They have one foot in the physical, one foot in the grave, or the other dimension.
The non-physical dimension.
The non-physical, right? And, and so it's like from which we came. So we were that connection and loss and that contradiction and the opposite. So I think you're starting to get the idea of the metal secrets.
Yeah, they really feel that before this existence, there was something else, almost something better. And that leads to our second secret of the day, which is that many metals are interested, dare I say, infatuated with death.
Yeah. And also legacy, like the death of the past, like paths. Well, I guess all deaths are in the past, right?
Right.
Think about it.
Yeah, if you think about it.
Right. But at the minimum, death is a big deal to a lot of metal people. It could even be like they like to hang out or walk casually, you know, in the graveyards and the cemeteries.
Yeah. Okay.
There's like a peacefulness there that they love, that feeling of connection with the other side. I've often walked with a metal person I used to hang out with once in a while. They would love to just walk in quietness in the cemetery.
Well, where else can you get history and access to that other non-physical plane?
And but legacy, a graveyard.
And legacy. Yeah. It's all there. It's everything. So it's that connection they feel. And we like to call it a cosmic connection because they have such a special cosmic connection in general. And it's why the rest of us, all the other elements in the world, we love metal. They have something ineffable, something inexplicable that we can't understand. And somehow we naturally want more. It's a magnetism that metal naturally has, even as an element in the world.
And, you know, we all have metal in there somewhere. So if you're thinking, oh, I don't like graveyards or cemeteries, you know, it doesn't mean that you're not metal. You have it somewhere. You just maybe have not tapped into it. And we really can't maybe understand that magnetism that you just spoke of that metal have. You know, and we just started to take off here. We want to talk a little bit about the magic carpet ride, which is another secret that we're going to get to. But first, before we talk about the magic carpet ride, let's talk about what's going on with the Inspired Action Podcast and the ALC.
Great. So first, we're working on a series of elemental podcasts, obviously, right now. And we're going to finish with next week's episode on the water
water. Elements. Thank you for waiting so patiently. So
I was just about to say
anticipation.
Yeah, that's water. So you get to anticipate that we're getting to you and it's coming soon. And we're going to follow that episode with an exciting interview with our friend Ann Cecil Sturman. So that's something to keep on your radar.
And we have a number of exciting events that we think are exciting in the ALC, which is the Alchemy Learning Center, which is the hub of all things alchemy for us. Plus, we have recently posted our Love in the Five Elements online webinar, live learning event that Lita did, which was amazing.
You were there too.
I was there a little bit, right? And in the background and doing things for sure. But hopefully, if you love to love and you love the five elements, this is your
this is your jam.
You should watch. That's right.
Yeah, we go into why and how each elemental combination can get along better, even in terms of the ways we like to be physically touched, or even when it's two lovers. How do they meet each other sexually?
Bon, chicka, bow, bow.
And the idea here is that we believe...
I have no idea what that's from. It comes out. I don't know.
The idea here is that we believe that any couple... No matter what your energetics are, that you can make it work if both parties become aware of each other and their energies and how they can be different. And then you can meet somewhere in the middle.
Well, I think that middle is a bed, right? Meet in the middle, no? Meet you in the middle!
The middle of the bed?
That's right.
That king-size bed?
That's right. Don't go too far on the edges. But we get emails already that people are just loving it and really has helped. And just you're understanding the five elements a little bit better in yourself, in your partner, those around you. And we talk about the pairings that are easier and nourishing and the pairings that are more opposite and more challenging. And today, like we're talking about the wood and the metal already, that might actually be an awareness of an awesome relationship dynamics because metal and wood get along very well.
Yeah, it's weird. They're opposite, but they actually have a lot in common.
Yeah, so that is called Love in the Five Elements, and it's available in the alchemylearningcenter.com.
And I want to thank again all the listeners out there who've helped us out by writing a review, and we want to...
For the podcast.
Yeah, for the podcast.
And the books.
Yes.
Yes, all the good things.
And we keep getting more each week, so thank you very much. And if you take a moment and write a review either on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this podcast, we would be delighted to send you a free Inspired Action t-shirt or a hat with a logo on it. Just take a screenshot of your review and send it to Lita@InspiredActionPodcast.com or Jay@InspiredActionPodcast.com.
Yeah, and we're doing that every week. We're like just pumping them out. So don't be shy. We want to. You can even just email us and say I did it if you don't want to do a screenshot.
Yeah.
If you're embarrassed or whatever, shy.
Just let us know. Challenging for you.
Right. Just let us know and we will kick you out some... Inspired Action swag.
There
we have
go.
Lots more coming, so we just love to have it out and about, and just other people wearing it is so much fun.
Yes. Okay, so there's so much we want to say today about
back
metal.
To the show. Let's go back to the podcast.
Let's start with a big picture perspective, like we've done with the other three elements we've done so far. And we've already alluded to this at the start of today's show, which is that metal is all about connection and an awareness at all times of the loss of connection. So there's this way they're always hanging in the balance of those two. That's what makes them seem so cloudy, like they're in between two worlds. And they're here to have an experience of the profound, especially profound but fleeting connections.
Sure. And in some cases, they can cling to that connection because they know it won't last forever. So they can be a little scared.
Yeah. And young children who are metal really need to feel connected to their parents, like there's some safety and they can cling to that sense of belonging. And we always liken it to a leaf on a tree.
But not lichen on a tree. No, a leaf and on a tree.
A lichen or a leaf on a tree, both work. And it gets to, the point is that the leaf or the lichen gets to stay on that tree for 18 years or so, if you're human. And so then.
Okay, nowadays it's like 35 is the new 18.
Yes,
right?
That's true.
Sorry, parents.
Yes, some leaves do not like to leave their tree.
Well, they want to come back after they left
the tree. Right, right, right.
That's okay. No judgment. I told you already, no judgment.
But the point is, at some point, that leaf lets go of the tree and goes for this magic carpet ride, we call it. It flies this glorious flight through the air of life until it settles slowly, slowly, slowly back to earth. And then the ride's over. It's the ride of their life. It is their entire life. And that's how it is when you've been given a safe, lovely home to grow up in. And you get to bravely go out into the world, into your own life, and be free to roam and find your way, feeling safe because you had all that nurturing until the day you die.
Okay. You had me all that good stuff until the day you die. But now that's, you know, that is part of the metal, you know, life.
Yeah.
And we all have it in us. So it's, like I said, it's in there somewhere. But no, and dying is, you know, not a bad thing.
Yeah. But it can sort of be a downer for some of the other elements sometimes. But it's not a downer to metal. It's a wonderful thing. You know, the end is always looming for all of us. But metal doesn't have a problem with that. They're just more conscious of it than the rest of us.
Yeah. I think that wood style is going to keep growing and growing and growing, expanding forever.
Right. So death is not a fun topic for wood people.
Not necessarily.
And I know you're immortal, Jay, but not all of us are so lucky.
Well, I just feel like it is something that we need to talk about when we talk about metal, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So back to the big picture for metal. Everything is a contradiction of opposites with metal. We've talked about connection and loss. We've talked about the specificity and the cloudiness. And there's also really logical thinking and this ability to be intuitive. There's also reverence and irreverence, rule following and rebelliousness, clinging, like we said, like the leaf on the tree that doesn't want to let go or comes back after college and doesn't leave. But there's also letting go, the ability to let go. That's the metal element. And we can go on and on.
I know. And that's why we're here today. We're talking about, we're going to apply some of that organized skills of metal to put this into some kind of order rather than fly on our magic carpet right around place to place like metals like to do. So the order and the kind of disorder.
Yes.
Right? So
yes,
we're going to just talk a little bit about that. So how do we apply some of the organizational skills of metal?
Yeah, we really do, because otherwise I think the rest of the elements won't understand metal. We have to get kind of specific here. So we're going to use the specificity of metal to understand the cloudy, broad,
cloudy with a chance of precision.
Yes, of metal. So that reminds me, if you talk to a metal, it's helpful to know the way they think. Their minds make connections all the time between seemingly unrelated things. It's like nonlinear thinking. And I don't know, have you ever seen those mind mapping exercises,
sure,
Jay? You know, where you put a word in the center of the page and you come up with the first thing that comes to mind, you draw a line to that word and then another word and then another word. And before you know it, you have a tangled mess of words.
Well, I don't think everyone thinks it's a tangled mess.
Well, metals don't.
No.
To us, to me, not being metal, it seems unrelated. Like it's just a, you know, a
do you have like maybe metal last?
Yeah.
Yes.
Practically. But it makes sense to metal. That's how their minds work.
Yes. And that's why they make such good, you know, professions as engineers, inventors, you know, space organizers and artists for sure.
For sure. And these are essentially really good skills for creative types in general. You know, that ability for your mind to expand and go all over
their
the place.
Their minds can go where no minds have gone before.
Yes, definitely. That's it. And in terms of yin and yang, they are very yin on the outside. And that's why they seem really cool, calm, and collected. They have a level of kind of aloofness. And they might be a little less outgoing in general, a little less bold at times, but sometimes bold. And, you know, less in your face, like, than other elements can be, especially wood or fire, which are very young. And the metal person's going to be maybe watching more than participating, maybe sitting in the corner at the party and
watching it all.
Yeah. And that's a real key that someone might be metal if they're just hanging out and watching and waiting.
Yeah. But inside, they're very young. And that's why as calm or crowd avoidant as they may seem, because they don't really like crowds that much. Mm-hmm. A lot of metals love being at a loud rock concert, punk event, some kind of loud musical event. They love that. And they love to look tough because on the surface, they look like clouds. So I don't know. They don't look that tough, I guess. But they like to wear tough-looking garb that matches what's going on internally. I mean, that punk whole punk rock scene, right?
Yes.
That look.
Yes. The leather, you know, the black leather, tattoos, piercings, you know, the whole thing.
Again, it's like contradiction. Everything is like different in one way. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They don't want to look soft on the outside because they feel so tough on the inside.
Yeah. It's how they connect with that very young interior, which, you know, make no mistake, Lita, when push comes to shove, they can slice and dice. It's like they have that metal rapier inside. And as a wood person, it could be the axe. It could be the one that chops us down.
Yeah, for sure.
I always say, what's the one element that can take wood down?
Metal.
With that little axe rapier inside.
Especially when wood doesn't obey the rules, because sometimes
we
wood kind of
bend the rules.
They bend the rules, and metal doesn't like to be bent, right?
No.
And that kind of brings up the topic of this idea in Chinese medicine that the metal element is like a judge sitting on the bench in a courtroom. It's the one that makes those decisions, like the legal decisions. It's very black and white for them. You either broke the law or you didn't break the law. And so at that point, now the sentence comes. The judge is the one, doesn't decide, you know, for sure whether you did it or not. That's the jury. But the judge gets to say, you broke the law. That really happened. The jury said you're guilty. Now you get the sentence. And the judge provides the sentence. So we also say, kind of somewhat jokingly, that the metal element is also the executioner, the one that actually chops off your head when you've done the bad deed.
Yeah, and they make sure they have a sharp blade.
Yes, right? Because you don't want someone really emotional.
No, you don't want a dull blade either.
Yeah, right.
You want whoosh, clean cut.
A clean cut. So, yeah, so that's why a judge isn't emotional typically. I mean, they sometimes get emotional when they throw you out of the courtroom for being disrespectful, which a metal person can do. But for the most part, they may remain dispassionate, and they look at all the circumstances, and they, again, very black and white, what happened, what are the facts, and now here's the sentence.
Yeah, I think that's great. And then they're also the rule followers, safety rules and regulations.
Yeah, and that goes with this whole idea. It's very black and white. Here are the rules. Why can't we all follow the rules? Why can't we park within the white lines? Like, why do people park on the curb or like in the space that's not
or
even
half
a space?
On the snowbank?
Right.
Because there was no other spot. I'm just saying as an example that may have happened to like a wood person. Like, I'm not saying it was me, but it could have been.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, they put the snow pile halfway into the parking spot.
Yes. I think all the parking meter people are probably metal or, you know, close, maybe water, but definitely metal people, you know, are into making sure that we all follow the rules.
Hey, I did not get a ticket on the snowbank.
Yeah, well, you were lucky.
I probably got a couple sneers.
Yeah.
And the metal people wanted to leave me a note or something.
Yes, leave you a note.
But it technically was a parking spot.
Yes.
I had two tires in it.
And we want to be clear. You probably had two tires.
It was technically a parking spot.
We want to be clear, though, because it sounds like we're making metal people out to be judgmental. But it's weird. They're non-judgmental. What they're judgmental about is this is the rule and you broke the law. But they're not judgmental about you. It's not like they're, you know, really sneering.
No,
it's more,
they're not.
It's more that it's just
I love metal people.
Yeah. It's a judgmental non-judgmentalness. It looks at the facts. And there's no gray area for them like there is for wood. They just say it's this way or that way. So it's like there's no emotional attachment to the outcome. It's just, this is the way it is. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
And, but what's really even more strange is, you know, we're saying they're goody two shoes on the one hand, you know, following the rules, you know, playing it safe. And on the other hand, and especially when they're teenagers, they're incredibly rebellious. It's like that, you know, contradiction again, the opposites that's always inherent in every metal person. There's a part of them that wants to bust out of the rules. There's a part of them that wants to be, you know, tough and dark. And, you know, it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's that teen angst. And it can last a lifetime. It doesn't have to end once your teenage years end.
No.
I mean, it obviously, when you're adult, it's not the same. It's going to look different. But you might still be rebellious. You might be at a job that you don't like very much. And you might be feeling like you need to act out, do something different. I mean, it could be any way that manifests, but it's definitely a sense that you want to break out of the mold somehow.
Let's just talk a little bit about a couple of things that I love about metal is the organizing and the categorizing and the bureaucracy, because I cannot stand bureaucracy. Most wood people can't stand it, but metal,
yeah,
they do okay with
it. It's their jam.
Again, opposite.
Yeah. So, you know, when you are very specific in life, you can kind of organize things, put things into categories. And that really applies to when we need to make things work in society. We need laws. We need regulations. We need, you know, town halls. We need the post office. We need the back end of every office where people are you know,
holding us up to the rules and the laws and stuff. Absolutely.
They're dotting the I's and crossing the T's for all the people who don't do that.
Right, right. I think that's an amazing quality.
Yeah. And so, you know, the important thing is they get respect for what they do. It's a very important function, and it can be very high level. It can be day-to-day level. It doesn't really matter. They want to feel valued and respected.
And it could be a quiet respect, but they need that.
Yeah.
They really need that. I agree. Totally.
And, you know, what's really weird is much as they love to be reverent with the world and, you know, respectful, at the same time, their sense of humor is very sarcastic and irreverent.
Sure.
And they love things like Monty Python, where it's just, you know, it's crazy. Like
they have some of the dark, twisted humor, too.
I know. Or that one with the walking. That was so funny. It was all these kind of people in jobs that, like, in bureaucratic jobs that they did silly walks.
That was Monty Python.
Yeah. It was so funny. We'll have to put that in the show notes.
Sure, because that is a very metal, funny
part
of humor.
And it's like all these serious, well-respected people, you know, walking silly.
And I told you, the study came out that is the most healthiest way to walk.
Yeah.
Is the Monty Python healthy, the funny walk. So it's like, it even has the ironic twist that the funny walk is the most healthiest way to walk.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We often do it with our students just to get them to see the funny.
Loosen up
and see the funniness in it. But that is true. So if you want to walk healthy, go check out the metal Monty Python silly walk.
Yes.
And do it. Videotape it and show us.
Yes. So getting back to this idea of value and respect, there's something else deeper than that, which is that they really love authenticity. They need people to be real. They don't want all these masks that we put on to fit in socially. They kind of see through all the
BS.
That
could be a secret. They have like their own x-ray vision of bullshit.
They do. They really do. No BS. If you want to hang with a metal person, you have to be real. You can't be phony. You can't be playing a silly game unless you're doing a silly walk.
Then you're still being serious.
Right. But, yeah. You have to be 100% real. Otherwise, they're not going to bother to make the connection with you. You have to let your guard down and be present with them. To be chill with them. They need that in order for you to hang out with them.
And that's how they make their connections. You know, they love quietly talking one-on-one. It's about hanging out, sharing time and space together.
And they love a good conversation.
Yeah.
They are conversationalists. Even though they can be quiet, once you get one-on-one with them, man, they are conversationalists. And so, you know, we can think about also some of the things that relate to how they kind of look at the world. You know, we talked about how Earth is in that abundance time of the end of summer when we harvest all the vegetables and we share them and give them away.
That is not metal.
That is not metal. It's not that they aren't of service to people and they love to help out, but they also have a conservationist mentality because they're aware that winter is coming. They're the autumn element. So they're preparing for the long winter. And that's also why they love to kind of keep their treasures. They're the treasure keepers.
I like that.
They like, you know, really valuable things. They like to find the gems that in the garbage. You know, they're looking. They're kind of always culling for like, oh, look at this gem at the antique shop. You know that someone else threw away, and now I get to keep it. Oh my gosh, this is wonderful. And that ties in again with the history of the item, because they're history buffs.
Legacy. I keep saying that word legacy. That item has a legacy.
They just love it. And then, you know, you think about that as it applies to people in their lives, they're also trying to kind of gather the history of their genealogy, their family tree. They really want to know from whence they came. That's really important to them. Yeah. Who am I based on my ancestors?
Well, and I think that also goes hand in hand with nostalgia.
Yeah, like, you know, they're all about the esoteric, the ethereal. They live in the sacred. It's like their whole life is a church or a temple where they can be quietly reverent. You know, you think of that kind of like a head bowing, unassuming, and they're always looking for value. They can connect with what's most sacred and beautiful in the world.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that gives the appearance of the aloofness of quiet and serious all the time. While they can be quiet and serious, they're not always.
Yeah.
They love music. They love, you know, comedy. They love art. They love so many different things, right?
It's really true.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the music.
Music is really interesting that you brought that up, because so many metals are so connected with music.
So connected with music.
And if you've listened to our series on music with the five elements, we talked about how metal has that really special nostalgic music with the minor key.
Yeah.
And it's something that we can connect with that's sacred and beautiful, or really irreverent. And, you know,
they're also the ones collecting the vinyl records for sure.
Oh, for sure. Right?
They're collecting for them. Because, again, if you think about it, it's music, it's a connection to the past. It's, you know,
and those
an object.
That's covers, right. Those old album covers had so much history to them.
Right. So there you go with that. There's another secret.
And so, you know, if you think about, we talked about love in the five elements. If you think about how they go about their lives, they're incredibly romantic.
Sure.
And they really love love. They're very much, you know.
Well, they love to be the knight errant in love.
Yes.
Right? The damsel in distress.
Yeah, they love to save someone.
Right.
They are the knight errant because they like to go out and sort of be of service.
Right. We haven't got to that yet, but that's definitely part of metal.
And the part about serving your loved one, it's like, you know, you put all your love onto someone and then you serve them. That would be the metal approach, you know.
Yeah.
It's really a...
They're also the ones who call at 4 a.m. and say, I'm stuck at the airport. Can you come pick me up?
Yeah.
And be like, okay. So if you need that ride, you know, the heck with Lyft, just call your metal friend. They'll come do it for free.
There you go.
Save the money.
Save the money.
No, they're wonderful. They're wonderful.
So in the last podcast, we talked about how Earth has a sensuality to it. And we need to kind of explain the difference between metal and Earth when it's... with regards to this, because it's really the difference between sensuality and your senses, because metal literally has a heightened, almost animalistic way of sensing the world. They have this heightened sense of taste, this heightened sense of smell. So they're interacting with the world through their senses. And
it's almost like a primal, they like to smell what's going on, going deep into it.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, they'll even smell really yucky things.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be like, is this bad?
And they're like, yes.
They'll take a big sniff, you know. Some of us might pause before taking a
They
big
do
sniff.
Not pause. They're like already smelling it, touching it, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting to think about that. And, you know, if you're thinking about people in your lives that are metal, you know, maybe because they like to smell yucky things, let's talk about, you know, what they look like in the world.
Yeah. How do you spot a metal person out in the wild?
Yeah.
The walk, the voice, the eyes. Let's go through a little bit about that in case you just need a refresh or you're brand new to the five elements. Either way, we want to educate.
Yes. So
entertain. See the contradiction?
There you go.
Opposites.
Yes, there you go.
Are they really opposites, entertaining and education?
Well, ideally, like this podcast, we hope that it's both.
We're the bridge. We're saving the world. No, we're just having fun.
We like to have fun.
Hopefully, you'll learn a little bit about
other
people.
Hopefully, you'll learn while you're laughing.
About yourself and other people.
There you go.
Boy, now I'm really educating.
There you go.
I'm not lecturing. I'm getting off my elemental soapbox. Let's go back to the fun.
Okay.
How do you spot a metal person out in the wild?
Well, first and foremost, look at their shoulders. Yeah. If they put their shoulders back, like they're squared off, that might be an indication that they have metal in their top one or two or three. And this is the reason this is it gives the lungs, which is a metal element organ, it gives the lungs maximum breathing capacity. So do it right now. Just, you know, hunch your shoulders forward and feel how you can't really take a deep breath. And then put your shoulders all the way, just roll them back and then take a deep breath. And that's what it's about. We want that deep breath. We want, you know, metals want total access to all the oxygen that their lungs
can take. It looks like their shoulders are pinned back.
Yeah.
Like they're back and they just look natural though.
Yeah.
If we do it, like we're forcing it and then we have to go back to normal.
And they're just naturally like that.
They're normally like that.
For sure.
Yeah.
They don't do it. It just is that way.
Right. Absolutely.
Now, when you put your shoulders back like that, it does something interesting with your arms. They end up looking like they're dangling. It's because the shoulders are kind of back and the arms fall down from there. And so they look floppy and they don't have a lot of tension in them. They're just hanging off their body. So mm-hmm. if you see someone with their shoulders back and they're walking and their arms are like flopping around
yeah.
a little bit, I mean, they just don't have a lot of, they're not tense. They're more slack.
Yep.
That's also an indicator. It's a little harder.
We always say floppy arms.
Floppy arms.
In a lovely way.
In a lovely way, non-judgmentally, of course.
Floppy's not bad. Floppy's
good.
It's not
a bad thing. Now, it's a little harder to see the next thing, which is when they walk, it looks like they're walking on clouds, as if their feet are barely touching the ground. But, you know, this is maybe something that you work on as you begin to watch people walking, where they're not stomping, they're not really connecting with the ground, they're not skating their feet, they're not bouncing, you know,
they're
so what's left?
They're floating.
They're floating. Yeah.
Floating.
Now, the other thing is they like to stand very upright with their head held high. So if you see someone whose kind of neck, the back of their neck is very erect, and they hold their head almost as if it's like reaching for the sky, or you can think of it like they look like a puppet dangling from a string from the heavens above. So, you know, you could think about, you know, someone who is like that because they've got the dangling arms like a puppet, but their head is very connected. And so, you know, sometimes it even looks like they're a little stuck up a little bit because their nose is up in the air, like a regality, like they're very regal.
Totally. I think that's always something that I look for.
Yeah, like you know, kings and queens.
Royalty.
How they would walk.
I always say my favorite is to go look at Angelina Jolie to walk. She has this metal walk, and she has all the elements that you just said, and it's like some people don't understand that. They think that she's pretending or she's doing it, but that's her walk.
That is her. And she has that thing where she's a little bit like her chin's lifted up, her nose is a little up in the air. You know, you can think about, you know, Queen Elizabeth of England. You know, she definitely walked like that. She had that regal look to her.
She's giving us that little twist right
that
now.
That little wave.
From the grave.
From the grave, yes. But, you know, but the whole of England is metal as an element. So, you know.
They're all giving us the wave.
Yeah.
I think that they're waving. Could be something else they're flashing us, but no, I think it's a wave. I'm going with the wave.
Okay.
All the fingers.
And then if you look at their eyes, the eyes are really telling. There's this way their eyes are looking through you. We told you a little bit earlier about that, but we call it X-ray vision. It's like they see through things. They see right through you, all the BS and everything. It can be really unnerving for the person they're looking at. But the eyes are unfocused or defocused. It's opposite of wood.
Yeah.
You know, wood is like highly focused.
Laser eyes.
Yeah, laser vision.
We also have a bullshit detector.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even though they rarely cry, they can get very verklempt and nostalgic. And so sometimes they look like they're going to cry. Like their eyes are a little watery, but they don't actually cry.
No, I always say they're going to squeak out a tear.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Right?
Yes.
All right, let's move on to the voice.
Yes, the voice. So,
okay, do your metal, Eeyore.
I'm not very good at that. You're really good at that.
Oh, well, if you insist.
Yes.
I'll do my Eeyore.
Yes. Yes, it's like
but Eeyore on a good day.
Yes, yes.
Does Eeyore ever have a good day?
I don't know. But you've got that little catch in your voice, that little crackle. That's definitely Eeyore. It's not a groan, which we're going to talk about in the water podcast next week. It's just like a little, like you're going to cry even again.
I ever saw Eeyore cry.
No, it's not about crying. And the voice it takes a little, little turn upward at the start, and then it starts to descend downward. And, you know, they're just talking until it's like the volume goes down too, and then they take a breath, and it lifts up, and then they start talking, and it starts to descend
yes.
until there's no more breath.
Please don't send me emails about Eeyore. I love Eeyore. He's one of my favorites.
So we're exaggerating, of course, and not everyone sounds like that. Some people are metal and they almost sound like a clear bell.
Yes.
Their voice is very clear, so it's not all like that, but they all taper off at the end. They all have a descending quality to them, and so we're just exaggerating.
I'm just having a little Winnie the Pooh fun.
Yes.
If you think about Winnie the Pooh, all the characters are elemental.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's incredible. Like, definitely Winnie the Pooh is earth.
Yeah. Tigger.
Oh, fire.
Bouncing up and down,
bouncing. Yeah.
Yes.
And probably, Tigger. No, wait. Tigger is also
the tiger.
Yeah. I was thinking of the pink one.
Piglet.
Piglet.
I love Piglet. Could be
Piglet's
my favorite.
Fire.
Yeah, Piglet could be my favorite.
There you go.
All right, we will now do a show on Winnie the Pooh. Maybe.
Yes, we should take
If anyone actually listens to this and cares about the Winnie the Pooh, we could all do it as a group exercise.
Yes, there you
but
go.
But I'm going to tell you, Eeyore is definitely metal.
Oh, maybe the owl.
Wood
or metal?
That's the rules.
Yeah.
Well, all right, now we're thinking.
Now we got to think about it. All right.
Yes. What did you say Winnie the Pooh was?
Earth.
Has to be Earth.
Has to be Earth. For sure.
Yes.
All right.
There's so many great characters.
Okay. So one of the other things I just want to say to wrap up the voice is that metals don't waste words.
No.
Even to the point where they don't say that the small, tiny words like A and the. So they might just
no
kind of,
wasted words.
Yeah. They might just kind of like, you know, you just say, like, they might pop out with a couple words, like just random
and a gesture
words,
and
like
a
random
gesture.
Association words.
And
yeah.
A gesture.
And a gesture.
Yeah.
For sure. I always use the example.
Well, like, shh.
Yeah. Right.
I get that a lot from metal people. Shh.
No words.
Just a gesture.
Just
another gesture. I'm hopefully interpreting correctly.
I always use the example of someone who came to me and said, hey, Lita, yoga and yogurt.
Yes.
And I was like, whoa. And they're like, right. Yeah. And I was like, oh.
That's deep.
Deep, you know, my mind was going, oh, all the associations between yoga and yogurt and, you know, and they,
culture and culture.
There you go. And we never
I never thought of that, did you?
I never did think of that association. Oh my goodness. Anyway, it was fun because we just kind of jammed on it, but we didn't say anything else.
Yeah.
We just said those two words.
What else is there to say?
Either you
like yoga or you don't. Either you like yogurt or you don't.
Right.
Either you understand the yoga culture or you don't. Or you understand the yogurt culture or you don't.
Or you don't.
All right. Well, you know, they mesmerize us in many ways. It's the way they move. It's very cosmic. The way they speak, the way their eyes are. It's very mesmerizing.
It's more like this nonchalant stroke of the hand to brush their hair from their eyes.
Wow. That was really mesmerizing.
Yes. There you go. That's it.
That's
so
really
think
good.
Of Angelina Jolie. You mentioned her before.
All right. Let's do some famous metal people.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are legends in the culture of all their fields, respectively. And they're often quiet stars who don't really like a lot of publicity.
Yeah.
So they're not the, you know, the action figures.
No.
And we'll talk about that if we mention there's one that tries to be and it doesn't quite do the same. We'll get to that in a minute. But look, they're quietly moving through at a huge level.
Yeah.
All right. And I have a big, long list of women here. So they're definitely out and about in the world, even though they might not be screaming out in the world. They're definitely out here. So Greta Garbo, Angelina Jolie, which we mentioned a few times, Nicole Kidman, Dame Helen Mirren, Portia de Rossi, Jane Lynch, Marilyn Monroe, Amanda Palmer, Dame Maggie Smith, Meryl Streep, we could put her to the top there.
Yeah.
A new Anna Taylor-Joy from The Queen's Gambit. She was really amazing, right? Yeah. Cate Blanchett, always on the top there. Martha Stewart, she's a boss and she will kick your ass and she's like precise, right?
Yes.
Martha Stewart is like the Betty Crocker medal for sure, right? Taylor Swift, we keep going back and forth on this, but we're pretty certain she's medal first.
Yes, we talked about that when we talked about her new beau in The Wood.
Yeah, Kelsey,
and we've watched them quite a bit, and it definitely seems like a wood medal.
Yeah, so she's still mysterious, and again, contradictions, right? So there's another thing on the medal for her.
Yes.
Like, yes, no, good, bad. All right,
well,
and then
contradictions for sure. Like, she's got it all, yeah.
She's got it all. So Amy Winehouse, amazing. She was just fantastic. Stevie Nicks, you know, Cher, Mazzy Star, Joni Mitchell, Lana Del Rey. Oh, my God, like one of my all-time favorites.
Perfect.
Right, Loretta Lynn, Lucinda Williams. She has to perform standing backwards, right? She won't even face the audience,
right?
Okay,
so
Ella
shy.
Fitzgerald. Like, I can go on and on and on, but that is just an amazing. Each one of those are so like deep.
Yeah,
they're not fly-by-nighters.
No, but they're also
they're
mysterious
fluffy.
To all of us. They don't reveal themselves completely.
And you have to be real to get to understand them.
Yeah,
it's great. You do the guys.
All right, so Humphrey Bogart is kind of like the example from history. It's just perfect, you know, example of someone who's metal. James Dean also, but more modern, Johnny Depp, Jim Gaffigan, Liam Neeson,
but
Colin
Liam
Farrell.
Neeson was the one I was talking about. Plays the action adventure guy like the Bruce Willis and the Arnold. And he's metal.
I know.
Right? Not the same.
Not the same.
Not
it's
the
a
same.
Really good point. Colin Farrell, Jack Nicholson, John Lennon.
Who also, Jack Nicholson, we went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Because he's such a good actor.
And we thought he was wood.
Yeah.
And he can be.
Yeah.
So he's probably metal wood.
Yeah.
But that one, we could even go further and look more. But he's another one that's very tricky to nail down, which I would then go towards metal.
Yes. Then we have for musicians Sting, David Bowie, Prince, Tom Petty, Neil Young, Mark Knopfler, Jay Mascis, Michael Stipe, Leonard Cohen, Nick Drake, Bobby Weir, Darius Rucker, Nat King Cole.
A lot of musical.
The men are big in metal music.
Wow. That was just, you can just tell they have substance to them.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of interesting people on that list.
Yeah. But, you know, think about how, you know, we always wanted to know more about Prince.
Yeah.
We always wanted to know more about David Bowie. It's like
John Lennon, wanted to know more.
We wanted to know more. It's like they always left us hanging and like the mystery around them. So it's perfect. Yeah.
And if you want a really good metal comedian, Jim Gaffigan.
Yes.
Right. We just watched him again the other night and it was just such metal humor.
Yes.
Like the irony. He's so good at that.
He really is good.
All right, so let's talk about some of the challenges of metal, just a little bit.
One of the biggest challenges is, you know, and it's hard for anyone.
Is this a secret?
This is a secret, yeah. I mean,
are you going to tell us the secret or
maybe.
Is it like, are you going to keep it to yourself?
Maybe I'll get to it.
You're like, I don't, maybe. Tell
well,
it.
Well, here's the thing. We all hate to be betrayed. I mean, everyone, betrayal's huge, right? But for metal, there's another level of how betrayal.
Yeah, off with your head.
Yeah. There you go.
Off with your head. How's that for a level of betrayal?
There you go. It's like they just.
No coming back from that.
Yeah. Well, they don't get over it.
No.
They don't get over it. History is forever.
Right.
And the history that you betrayed them is forever.
Right.
But it's devastating for them because they often can't move on. They can't trust again.
I say they have a little bit of difficulty in letting go.
Definitely.
Okay? We have this meditation that we have everyone do. That's one of our students, the letting go meditation. They really need to focus on trying to
they have
live
to
that
go.
Way. Yes.
Yeah. And the, you know, not really the same as betrayal, but the effect is the same as betrayal. When someone dies, that's really intense.
Yeah, they might think of that as an act of betrayal.
Right. And they are the element of letting go. So they'll, one death of a loved one, they can go, all right, I can do this. I can let go. I can grieve. I can become detached. I feel their presence in the other world, or however they get through it. But let's say they have a lot of deaths in the family or their friends all at once.
It's very challenging.
Then that takes them down 100% of the time. Takes them down. They can't function.
Remember, we all have metal in us, so it will take us all down.
True.
It's just on a profounder level.
It's very profound and very deep. And it's this feeling that the life is impermanent, which is a beautiful thing for metals. They don't have a problem with that, but sometimes it's overwhelming. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, it's so beautiful to stare at the sunset as the sun goes down.
Don't stare at the sun. Well, stare like around that area.
There you go. We're not advocating.
Don't go stare at the sun because we said to go stare at the sun. But although there is sun gazing.
Yes.
But it's off to the side, like sunrise.
Yes. Right. But as the sun sets and you're watching, not directly, you're watching the sunset.
Because that would be tragic.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to say tragic sunset, right?
And you feel the clamped, you feel like this amazing profoundness. You know, that is a beautiful feeling of letting go.
And so wood is like, another day's coming. Yes. Like, yes, victory today. We're going on to tomorrow. Metal, no. Yes. They're bringing it down. They're quiet. It's reverent. And they're like,
it's the beauty of life. It's the letting go.
What does fire do at sunset? I know. Party time.
Party time.
Party happy hour.
Where are my people?
Where's the happy hour?
Where's the happy hour?
Earth, we better get ready for dinner.
Yes.
It's almost time. Let's get that meal going. We got a lot of stuff to do to have everyone come over and eat. And water's like, where are we going?
Where's the next destination?
They could do anything, right?
Yeah.
They go with the flow. But for metal, it's this. And you can almost see it at beautiful sunsets, like elementally what's going on, right?
Yeah. And who comes to see them? If you ever look around at like lookouts where you could see sunsets, you know, there's people very reverently
watching. Right. And I have been shhed at a sunset before. I'm sure you have too.
I believe it.
And I'm certain it was a metal person.
Yes.
But I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm so excited.
You can't help it, Jay.
I can't help it.
Well, they're excited too.
But I don't get offended.
Well, they're excited too. They're just not outwardly.
Right.
Yes. Okay. So let's move on to what metals want most in life.
A quiet sunset.
A quiet sunset without Jay there yapping away.
No. I'm not yapping.
Not yapping.
I'm just excited about life.
Just excited. So it's about value. That's what they're really wanting in life. They want to go through respect. They want to go through it with appreciation, both being appreciated and appreciating everything around them. So when we're talking about the metal element and the respect and the reverence, that's what they want in life. So a lot of wood people, you know, they
remember we're on the opposite, wood and metal. That's why we keep bringing wood back in.
Yeah, wood is also like that, except it's a high five. It's a cheerleading. It's got a lot of exuberance. Metal, it's not like that. It's quiet, silent, you know, like a head nod.
Especially at sunset.
Yes. Yes, especially at sunset. Prayer hands.
Words are not needed. Metal.
It's a monk bowing to you.
Yes, I do that a lot. And I have metal. I have metal in here somewhere.
And it's a lot of like connection with the eyes when you're doing that. It's the eyes saying, I appreciate you. I respect you. I value
you. That's what I do. If you get a bow from me with the hands, that's exactly what I'm saying on the inside. Like verbatim. That is it.
For sure. I mean, the eyes are the windows of the soul.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how they engage with value in the world. So that's what they're looking for people to do to them. They want people to give them that level of appreciation.
Right. So what is the evolution of metal?
Well, that's perfect because you know, the world's not going to always give you what you want. So they're seeking that appreciation. They're seeking that honor, that approval, that respect. But in the end, it's about them gaining their self-respect, the appreciation of who they are inherently, rather than needing it from everyone else. They almost have to be the respect they wish to have and treat others with that consideration and respect in order to feel it internally. They are basically generating it within themselves by offering service to others.
Right. Like we didn't mention, but they're very good with hospice.
Yes.
So that's another quiet, respectful thing as well.
That's an amazing gift that they can serve because they love hanging around in that, in the balance between life and death. So it is a really great thing to do, something like hospice.
So I think the evolution of metal from the modern day perspective, in my opinion, is, you know, walk the walk, talk the talk, do what you want to do, and don't feel like there's something, like, I don't want to say wrong with you, but you're quiet, you're respectful, you're all things. The metal, it has to come out in a way that you're okay with. Like you said, the self-respect comes in from the inside to the out. It's like the fire shining the light out.
Right.
You know, maybe it's the shining armor.
Yeah, it's the shining armor.
Like the knight in the shining armor, like shine that armor.
Yeah. And the other thing is, at least in the U.S., this is a wood culture. And the wood is all about, you know, be the best you can be. Go out and do your thing. You know, it's very aggressive and assertive as a culture.
I mean, that can be shocking sometimes to metal people.
Yeah, it doesn't really jive with metal.
I think the word is resonate.
It doesn't resonate. Yeah. And so sometimes metals, we meet a lot of metals who feel like they don't fit in. Whereas obviously they fit in. They just might not be fitting in culturally.
Or someone told them they didn't fit in. Like, you're too quiet. Yeah. Too withdrawn. Why are you always hanging back?
Yeah. Go do it. Do something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So metal isn't.
Or speak up.
Yeah.
Metal people often say that they were told that as a young age. Like, speak up if you want something. And that's not their inherent nature.
Right.
I think we need to really celebrate that.
Yes. And sometimes when they're really feeling like they don't fit in, they fall back on their second element. Maybe it is wood, so they get really bossy and really assertive. Or maybe it's fire and they put on their, like, laughter and their, you know, entertainment voice, and they entertain everyone at the party, which
drains them.
It drains them. It doesn't feel good. They get home and they're exhausted because it's not who they are.
Yeah. And I often say, and I don't, not judgmental, but I do think the metal wood is one of the more challenging stack ups.
Yes.
If you think about it, again, they're opposites.
Yes.
So they're constantly testing each other.
Yes, it can be difficult because, again, it's like the wood keeps pushing the metal to be more like, you know, all the people, at least in this culture, that are like, go be somebody, do this. You know, it's very assertive. And then they're beating up themselves, essentially.
Yeah. So kindness, loving, you know, as you start to move through the elements, really understand this metal is a wonderful, amazing. And I say this every time when we talk about this, all the metals are equally strong. There's no one element that's stronger than the other.
Right.
So this metal is really strong.
Are they strong, they can chop down wood.
That's right.
So they're really strong.
Really strong. So I just, if you're a metal out there, step into it if you want.
Yeah, for
sure.
Even if
it's just a head bow.
And the beauty of it.
Right. Like, and feel free to shush at sunset if you feel like you need to shush.
We may not listen, but you can shush all you want.
Yes, Lita and I have been shushed many times in many different places. We can't help it.
But anyway, we really appreciate all of the metals in our lives.
I'm going to do a right now, hands together, head bow. Oh, I almost hit the microphone, but that was sincere. My virtual hands pressed together.
There you go.
And virtually bowing. So, yes. So, Lita, let's talk a little bit about compatibility. We keep, you know, joking about wood and metal being on the office and stuff. Let's talk a little bit about the other elements and how they interact with metal.
Well, actually, fire and metal are opposites as well. Remember, every element has two opposites. And fire melts metal.
Yes.
So, fire is the only one who can really control metal.
Right.
And yet they also get along great because they both love connection. Just two different types of connection.
Heart connection?
Yeah, heart connection or cosmic connection. So we talk in the Love and the Five Elements class that we talked about earlier in the episode about what is the difference between heart connection and cosmic connection?
Yeah.
It's very different.
I think it's fascinating.
It's very different. And then there's earth and metal and water and metal. Those get along great.
Really great.
Those are part of the nourishing cycle in Chinese medicine. And so they have a lot more compatibility. So that's just like a good way to look at it.
And I think they're less challenging for metal people.
Yeah.
Like they really get easy. They're quiet. You can have quiet water, quiet earth, quiet metal.
Yeah.
And then we have the troublemakers.
Yeah, the fire in the woods. But yet, metal people are very attracted. Opposites attract.
I have a lot of friends that are metal. Like,
yeah, totally.
Know?
Opposites attract. They're great to, you know, hang out together. So, I think metal people get along with just about everyone.
I agree with that. That's a good way of saying it. We always
really
say earth, but I do think metal, if they're happy.
Yeah.
Then they can get along with anyone. If they're not happy,
But oddly, I do think metal couples get a
very good
really
compatibility.
Amazing. That's
very
a
good.
Really good one.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's perfect. All right, I just wanted to like bring that in so we could talk a little bit more. But if you're really into this, go check out the ALC. We have a lot of good stuff on the elements.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. I think that's good for metal. What do you think?
Yeah,
I think we did pretty good up there.
I think we did pretty good. Hopefully, they feel validated and respected.
Yay. All right. So. Go out there and have a really good ER on a good day.
Yes.
Right? All right. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Inspired Action Podcast, and you've reached the end. Woohoo! Why not celebrate a little bit and click that subscribe button right there? We love having you with us on this journey, and we want it to continue.
You can also rate and review this podcast. And if you have already, thank you so much. We read all reviews, and your reviews help other people find this podcast as well. You can also be a part of this podcast yourself by submitting a voice recording message and emailing it to us at Lita@inspiredactionpodcast.com or J@inspiredactionpodcast.com.
And if you want, you can join our Facebook group or follow us on Instagram.
Join us next week for another Inspired Action Conversation. And thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. And remember to hug the dog.